The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I will be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, May 15th through Sunday, May 21st, 2023. The commentary for the month of May was written by Perry M. Pauley, the associate priest at Trinity Cathedral in Phoenix, Arizona. Before pursuing ordination in the Episcopal Church, Perry worked as a professor and an entrepreneur. Perry has been married to Michelle since 2003, and they have two children, Elias and Elena. The commentary for Monday, May 15th, begins as follows, and it's a passage from the Book of Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. I will remember the works of the Lord and call to mind your deeds of old time. I will meditate on all your acts and ponder your mighty deeds. There's an old discussion among the theologians about God's immanence or closeness and God's transcendence, God's otherness, the idea that God is somewhere out there. What is interesting to me is how we experience these abstract ideas. For some, God always seems to be elsewhere as a creative cosmic presence who is personally removed from present reality. Others experience God more like a best friend, not particularly majestic, but always close. I would argue that most of us are somewhere between those extremes. We recognize that God wields the power of creation, and we have moments of immanence where that same God seems very close. For me, these experiences are often tied to God's wonder of old. Places like the Grand Canyon or Point Loma remind me to meditate on God's mighty deeds, as I consider that our fragile island home is just a small part of the cosmos. I marvel that in all this vastness we are held in the palm of God's hand. And now for today, I'm going to read the entire Psalm, number 77. I cry aloud to God, that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids from closing. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old and remember the years of long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock, by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And the moving forward question for this Monday, what places remind you to meditate on God's mighty deeds? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, May 16th, Rogation Day. It begins with a passage from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 24. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word, and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. Here's the commentary. My daughter's bedroom has full-length mirrored closet doors that were there when we bought the house. I wanted to remove the mirrors, but my wife convinced me to leave them. Our daughter wouldn't be small forever, she argued, and she would grow to appreciate them. Most nights I find my wife and daughter together, standing side by side in front of those mirrors, brushing their hair before bed while talking about life. James' parallel between being a doer of the word and looking in the mirror is absurd, but that's the point. My wife and daughter don't spend time in front of those mirrors for fear they'll forget how they look. For them, it's a place of connection, and as I watch them, I see my wife reflected so clearly in our daughter. That is how it is with us. Our reflection should remind us of whose image we bear, connecting us into deeper relationship each day. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of this letter of James. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 16 through 27. Do not be deceived, my beloved. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers but who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. And the moving forward statement for this day is, go out into your community and be a doer of the word. The commentary for Wednesday, May 17th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 and 31. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Rogation days are an ancient tradition in the church to pray for crops and harvests. On a day where food is the focus, the gospel reminds us not to worry about food. And this is a passage that speaks clearly today, in a time in which inflation and supply chain disruptions have created significant worry. Jesus continues to remind us not to worry. For most of us, that is easier said than done. What are we to do in a perfect storm of social, emotional, and market stresses? I believe Jesus' suggestion to seek God's kingdom still carries weight. The truth is that it's easy to feel overwhelmed by the cares and pressures of life. And when that happens, it's easy to lose sight of our calling to participate in God's mission to the world. In uncertain times, we must believe that our prayers, our voices, and our actions can reshape our reality. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel for today. The passage is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. He said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." And the moving forward question for today is, how are you handling the stresses of today? Write out these words and carry them with you in a wallet or purse as a tangible reminder of Jesus' faithfulness. And now here is the commentary for Thursday, May 18th. Today is Ascension Day. It begins with a passage from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?'" Here's the commentary. It is amazing to read Scripture with an eye toward all the times the disciples missed the point. They send the children away. They don't understand where Jesus is going. Peter draws a sword to defend Jesus, then denies knowing him hours later. And here we are, 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, and the disciples' questions suggest they still don't get it. But I can see things from their perspective. This seemed like the perfect time for Jesus to appear. Since he had been publicly executed, if he showed everyone that he was alive again, no one could deny his kingship. Throughout Scripture, we hear the message that God's ways are not our ways. And Jesus himself says that his kingdom is not of this world. Despite that consistency, we are often like the disciples, left standing in shock at the things happening right in front of us. It is good to pause on this Ascension Day and give thanks that God continues to teach us. Indeed, the Spirit remains with us just as Jesus promised, leading us daily into deeper truth. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly, two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And the moving forward statement for this day is very simply this: give thanks for the unexpected blessings God bestows. Our commentary for Friday, May 19th, begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I was sitting in a crowded hospital waiting room when I witnessed one of the simplest and most extraordinary acts of kindness. A woman began to weep, and without missing a beat, an older woman sitting on the other side of the room walked up to her and embraced her. A scarf loosely covered the top of her head because the chemotherapy had taken her hair. I've been there too, she told her companion, and it's only by the grace of God that we get through this. In my own moments of grief, I've been grateful for the people who have put their arms around me and comforted me with those words. I've been there too. That same good news is in this passage from Hebrews. Jesus, our great high priest, has been there too and understands what we need. We can approach God's throne seeking the grace of knowing that we are never alone. And now I'm going to read this full passage from Hebrews for today. It's chapter 4, verses 14 through chapter 5, verses 6. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness, and because of this he must offer sacrifice for his own sins as well as for those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And the moving forward question for this day, who needs your loving embrace today? The commentary for Saturday, May 20th, begins with a passage from the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. "He said to me, 'Mortal, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Then go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear.'" There is a recurring theme in the prophetic call narratives of the Old Testament. Isaiah volunteers to be God's messenger, but the message is not good. Destruction is coming, but the people won't listen. God's blessing was on Jeremiah before his birth, but God says the people will resist the message and fight him. And God tells Ezekiel to proclaim the word regardless of the reception he receives. When I think about these great prophets and their complicated call stories, I feel encouraged. We are called to live justly and to walk in love and mercy. We are called to share that message faithfully, but we are not called to change other people's hearts and minds, no matter how much we want to. Changing hearts is the domain of the Spirit. Our task is to remain faithful and proclaim God's future in word and action. Our faithfulness is our prophetic heritage to the world. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Ezekiel, chapter 3, verses 4 through 17. "He said to me, 'Mortal, go to the house of Israel and speak my very words to them. For you are not sent to a people of obscure speech and difficult language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of obscure speech and difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to them, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. See, I have made your face hard against their faces, and your forehead hard against their foreheads. Like the hardest stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not fear them or be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house.' He said to me, 'Mortal, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears. Then go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear.' Then the Spirit lifted me up, and as the glory of the Lord rose from its place, I heard behind me the sound of loud rumbling. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them. That sounded like a loud rumbling. The Spirit lifted me up and bore me away. I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. I came to the exiles at Tel Abib, who lived by the river Chebar. And I sat there among them, stunned, for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me, 'Mortal, I have made you a sentinel for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me.'" And the moving forward statement for this Saturday, May 20th, remember to let God be God in your heart and your life. Now we've reached the end of the week, Sunday, May 21st, the seventh Sunday of Easter. It begins with Psalm 68, verses 5 through 6. Father of orphans, defender of widows, God in his holy habitation. God gives the solitary a home and brings forth prisoners into freedom, but the rebels shall live in dry places. Many of the priests I know talk about their ordination to the diaconate with great fondness. Deacons are called and consecrated to stand in the gap, building a bridge between the needs of the world and the vocation of the church. These were the tasks of the first deacons in the Acts of the Apostles, to care for the widows and to make sure that everyone got enough to eat. Down to today, these vows of service and bridge building carry great meaning. The psalmist makes it clear, however, that this is not just the vocation of deacons. Caring for those who are desolate and marginalized is just what happens in God's house. As important as it is for us to pray for this vision of God's holiness to become reality, we must remember that this is the work we've been invited to do as members of God's family. As Teresa of Avila reminds us, God has no body on earth but ours. Together we are God's house, a living house, providing refuge and care to those most in need. And now I'm going to read the scripture from the Psalms, chapter 68, verses 1 through 10. Let God rise up, let his enemies be scattered, let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exult before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the clouds. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. God gives the desolate a home to live in. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious live in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through wilderness, the earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you showered abroad. You restored your heritage when it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. And the moving forward statement for this day is Forward Movement donates books and resources to hospitals, nursing homes, and prisons. You can learn more about how you can do this through forwardmovement.org/donate. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week. Goodbye until next time.